The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Pick up the energy around here. Let's pick it up. Warriors with a big win. Niners get back on track. The Giants are making moves. The Sharkies, well, they had too much fun in Florida. They got a couple L's down there. Florida Panthers beat them 3-1. It's tough.
Yeah.
Tough deal. Yeah. What much scored in Florida? They scored two goals combined against the Panthers.
Not much scoring on the ice, Bonte.
On the ice. Oh, see.
Don't forget.
Don't do that.
One of your eight baseball teams, the Yankees, lost Juan Soto.
They did lose Juan Soto. So my New York Mets are going to be loaded with Francisco Lindor.
I just do it the best with you guys.
Marvelous.
Watching Yankee fans, like, lose their minds because someone finally said no to them is one of the most incredible things.
Oh, it is. And he's going right down the road to Queens. Oh, man. That's got to hurt.
Does anyone believe that the Yankees offered one less year and like $50 million less or whatever it was?
Well, they offered one more year, but $50 million less.
Okay, that's what it was? Yes. Okay, one more.
So in case you're waking up, Juan Soto signs a 15-year, $765 million contract. It's the largest deal in professional sports history. But Soto, how about this? This is great work by his agency group. Soto can either opt out after the fifth year, which is in 2029. He can opt out after the fifth year or receive a $4 million raise per season from $51 million to $55 million for the remainder of the contract. So I have a feeling he's going to opt out after the fifth year and just sign an entirely new deal.
Oh, my gosh. I just, 15 years, like, if it is, like, on its face value, 15 years, let's assume there's no opt-outs. He's a great player, Bonte. I want to make sure this is very clear. A great player. I'm not sure anyone's worth 15 years. Like, I don't know, man. Something's up with baseball. There is a financial situation that's been brewing. Something's going to happen with this next labor agreement. I don't know what the rules should be. I don't love the NBA's like, oh, if you stay with your team, you can get up to 5 years. If you sign with a new team, you can only max out at four or whatever the specifics are. I don't know, man. There's just 15 years, $800 million essentially.
And John Heyman broke it, right? John Heyman broke it.
Odyssey
MLB Insider, score one for the old Odyssey.
Well, he finally got something involving a Yankee right.
Hey, listen. This is a big one that he got right. This is the largest contract in pro sports history. John Heyman, Odyssey, MLB Insider, getting it right after walking off of WFAN the other day, saying, you know what, you guys are disrespecting me, hung up the phone. Hey, John Heyman, stand on business, John. That's what I'm talking about. 10 toes down, John Heyman.
We should get that audio for later on in the week. I didn't think that the WFAN guy disrespected him.
Well, you know.
I thought he was a little sensitive, but that's okay.
And well, you got to know your personnel, right?
Well, he basically insinuated that Scott Boras is paying him.
Yeah.
Like, that is kind of like, kind of disrespectful.
Very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Well, for a guy who works that hard to say that somebody's paying you, an agent is paying you to float information out there, that disrespects and takes away his integrity.
His credibility.
And your credibility. Yeah. It's unethical. No, it was disrespectful.
It's pretty well known that in certain circles, certain reporters get their information directly from the agents.
But to say that he's getting paid.
Well, that's
like, that's disrespectful.
I think it was
disrespectful. That's disrespectful. He did a lot. You know, guys like John Heyman, guys like Passan, guys, all these insiders, they work hard to build these relationships so you can get intel from agencies. Agents aren't just giving anybody anything. You got to work hard on these relationships and build those relationships. Give them credit for building them. Anyway, Roger Saddlezay is calling out a particular fan base around these parts, and he's not happy about it.
What's that?
Roger, what's up?
Hey, Roger.
What? Yo, good morning, Bonte Shasky. What's happening, man?
Good morning, Roger.
Just wanted to just tapping in with you guys. Bonte hit the nail on the head earlier this season, man. He was feeling it week 4, week 5, calling out the fan base. And he's right, man. Y'all looking like some unfaithfuls. You know, we're the faithful, man. We got to back the team up. Brock Purdy. I can't believe we're still talking about Kirk Cousins. Y'all bringing up Kirk Cousins still?
Man.
Still? Now we're talking about Sam Darnold. He's balling out.
Man.
In Minnesota.
Roger. Hey, the Sam Darnold thing is so ironic. They didn't want him on the team last year backing up Brock Purdy. Now they want to pay him a multi-year deal to bring Sam Darnold back to the Niners. It's insane, isn't it?
You know what it is, Bonte? They forget about the Blaine Gabberts. They forget about the David Carrs.
Mm.
They forget about the Matt Schaubs and the Nick Mullins and the C.J. Beathards. I could keep going.
Mm.
J.T. O'Sullivan, Nate Davis. I mean, come on, man. You guys are real ungrateful and unfaithful right now. Brock Purdy's the man. I say we pay him. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, Roger.
We just got to keep this thing going.
Roger, I'm with you. Why everybody wants to play musical chairs at the quarterback position? You finally found a guy who played like an MVP a season ago. He's played great football yesterday. Why we always got to play musical chairs at the quarterback? Like the grass is always greener or something. It doesn't make sense to me, Roger.
I mean, man, to be honest with you, I feel like at all fan bases, we should know the grass ain't always greener, especially when it comes to the quarterback position. Come on, man. Everybody, let's get on board. Let's back these boys up. Let's finish the season strong, playoffs or not. Next year, we're coming for the throat, for the jugular, man.
Roger, I'm kind of with that. I like that energy. And you know what? Just reload and get ready to host Super Bowl 60 next season at Levi's Stadium. That's what it's all about.
Well, if you want to ask big picture why the Niner fan base is like so obsessed with the next guy, well, it's kind of been ingrained over many decades. I mean, going back to Y.A. Tittle getting replaced by John Brody, like this has been a conversation in these parts forever. And you, DeBerg and Montana and Young, you know, Young and Garcia, and then obviously Garcia takes off, and then you get Ken Dorsey and Alex Smith and Kaepernick, and like it's been decades, right? Like we've had these transitions and these conversations. This isn't an exclusive to just this particular moment in time to Niner fans. Doesn't mean it's right. I'm not exonerating the behavior, but it is like a generational thing.
Yeah, but the 30 and under crowd, they had Kaepernick.
Yeah, but their own coach, while Jimmy was actively the quarterback, was searching to find his replacement.
Exactly.
So I'm not knocking the under 30 crowd.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go here. I don't want to talk about that right now. By the way, the Doobie Awards coming up December 20th, where we celebrate the show, the listeners, the year, 95.7 The Game, but give out some awards. That's really what we're there for. We're there to give out some awards, have some fun, have some drinks, eat some free food at Lafayette Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10 a.m. So go ahead right now, take December 20th off. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. You do not want to miss this. It's going to be the biggest party that radio's ever thrown. I'm telling you. The other station ain't doing it. You know, this. We throw the best parties. There's no doubt 95.7 The Game throws the best parties.
Ain't no party like a 957 party.
There you go.
A 957, it's too wordy. Too wordy. But I was going to go to No Limit Party. Nobody's too wordy.
The party's so, it's going to be popping so hard. Guru Friday was like, I'm really jealous. And this time he took a shot, said we're going to be up there by Petaluma and probably going to want a hotel room and this and that. We ain't getting all that. That's what's
wrong direction.
Yeah, wrong direction, Steiny.
Petaluma's north.
Yes.
This is south.
This is in Sunnyvale, and we are getting a hotel room.
Yeah.
The Warriors played the night before, so I'm maybe getting to the hotel a little late. Is it even worth it for me to go to the hotel room? Is it even worth it?
I have a basketball game the night before.
Oh,
we got moved from Friday to Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so we're going to be running on fumes then.
Not really.
I might be. I might be.
Move on, Joe.
I might be. Who are you playing basketball for?
I'm not playing. I'm coaching.
Oh. Who are you coaching?
St. Brandon's, 8th grade.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You guys the favorite to win?
I don't know. Who knows? We're right in the middle of the pack.
So I want to put this out there. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. I went in to the boss man's office last hour, and I demanded that he turn on the YouTube chat.
And what did he say?
Well, he's just saying it's too distracting. I said, well, how are we going to give out one of our biggest awards of the year?
Too distracted.
YouTuber of the year is an award. Like Chicago and Jason, I don't know if he should win. I haven't seen him in a while. It's been, what, how many days? Where's the guy who's updates? 69 days? 70 days? Nice. Tyler Miller? Who's going to win YouTuber of the Year? I have no idea because the chat's disabled. So let's just, you know what? I'm going to do this. I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm probably risking my job by doing this. Flood Matt Nahegan's Twitter timeline right now and tell him to get the damn chat on. We want the chat. We want the chat. We want the chat. We want the chat. You going to back me on this? No? Are you going to leave me?
Thinking about the Niners.
Oh, you're just going to leave? You're going to just leave me out there to dry? You're
going to
leave me out there high and dry?
And various possible middle of the order lineups.
Some teammate this guy is.
For the Giants.
Some teammate this guy is, huh?
The last time you had a chant like that was don't sell Snell, and they didn't. And then he went to the Dodgers.
Well, they shouldn't have sold Snell, but you also should have bought something.
Do you even remember any of the starts in September?
No, but I remember the starts in June and July. In August, and he was one of the best pitchers in baseball, but Farhan didn't do anything to improve the team. He sold off parts. So I'm like, wait a minute, you're going to keep Snell and then sell off ancillary pieces like Jorge Soler? Good Lord. Good Lord. Good Lord. Lord. Lord.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Seriously. A guy should be fired. WFAN.
Not be fired. Why are we taking everything so serious?
No, you made
a mistake a couple years ago. John Heyman, that is. He made a mistake in reporting. It happens. You miss, you laugh a little, and you move on.
This had nothing to do with that. This had saying, oh,
but
we know you get paid
up.
By
he
agents. Yeah, so
thing.
Don't do that. No, you don't need to do
he
that.
He said arson judge to the Giants.
Yeah, well, that's yesterday's news. That's done.
But what, we can't
that's
laugh
done.
A little?
No, John Heyman's ain't in the mood for it, man. He's talking serious business.
You're reporting
business.
On baseball contracts. You're not reporting on
serious
world
business.
Politics.
Come serious on. Business. It, the Twitter handle is at Matt Nahegan, NAHIGIAN. Flood his Twitter timeline right now and get the damn chat back so we can give out this award December 20th. Speaking of which, Philmo Mike. Philmo in the building. What's up, Philmo?
Hey, man. Hey man, I don't know what happened with the YouTube chat, but the YouTube chat was lit.
Lit.
So we got it. What you mean the YouTube chat? When y'all was on the YouTube, y'all had the chat. You I can see you, but I can't chat and talk about your fade, talk about your haircut, how much weight Shasky gained.
What?
In a hard or whatnot. So or lost. Shout out Shasky.
Actually, put you in the secondary. Way to backpedal.
Yeah, I got your back like a bra strap. Anyway, though, but listen, bruh. The Hegan, get the YouTube chat back. It was lit. It was cracking. I don't know what you're doing. With that being said, December 20th, come out to the Doobie Awards, man. I'm doing some voiceovers. I'm going to be in the building, man. Hey, I got another event to go to, and I'm coming to y'all event. Man,
that's dedication.
We lit. Hey, it's the life is so real that I gotta get on the call right now. I have to get on the call.
Hey, real quick, football. Real quick, 10 seconds. 10 seconds, football. Warriors win. Impressive.
Very impressive. Ooh, I love the Warriors. The Warriors is bringing us back, man. The Niners is disappointing, but you know what? I'm never giving up on the Niners because you know why? We're faithful. Hey, yep. Watch your back. It's Kevin, man. I'm here. Oh.
Jacob in Castro Valley. Jacob.
That was Jacob, an all time call.
Jacob in Castro Valley. What's up, Jacob?
I'm getting fatter? That's not cool.
Hey.
Wait,
you guys.
You're a Doobie Award nominee? What category?
Yeah.
What category?
I'll be there. I believe for the Niners rap that I did a couple weeks back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Jacob, we met you. You came into the studio, right? You work on the elevators or the refrigerators.
Yeah. I had a breakfast with Baldy.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you. Yeah, you did have a fire. Hey, man, that rap was. We got to replay that rap. That rap was hard. What you got, Jacob?
No, I just wanted to talk about Brock Purdy and the Niners organization. You know, I was fortunate enough to be at that game against the Dolphins where Purdy got to step in and he just balled out from there on out. And I just wanted to like remind the fan base and remind myself where we were at before him. I mean, we were stuck with Trey Lance and Jimmy G, and it was looking like a wrap. And then this kid just stepped in, and he took over, and he balled out, and he took control. And, I mean, the Niners are fortunate to have run into Brock Purdy because with what happened with Trey Lance in that draft, they were all on the hot seat, and the fans were turning on him. And Brock Purdy's done nothing but good, and you can't expect him to have a fantastic game every week, you know, and people talk about his arm strength, which isn't really a factor in Shanahan's offense. His offense isn't built around a QB with arm strength. He's built around keeping the ball for as long as possible, running it down the field, short passes, you know, mid passes. So Brock Purdy fits great. And people may say he's a system QB, but the fact is we don't know that yet until he's in another system. But we know he works great for this system. So, Brock Purdy's our guy. Brock Purdy is our guy.
Let's go, Jacob. I'm with that. He makes the system. Every quarterback is a system quarterback, technically. They're all running some sort of system. But can you master the system? Can you maximize the system? We've seen Brock Purdy play at an elite level within this system, Shasky, and play at a high level. So, look, he's going to be a 49er next year. I'd be shocked if he wasn't wearing number 13.
We all would be shocked. I think we all would be shocked. The big takeaways, though, for me in this game is like, man, when Juwan Jennings is healthy and they're targeting him, the guy just makes plays. I don't think he's a number one, per se, but I think he's a really solid two. And then I look at George Kittle. When they target this guy, he produces. He's an absolute, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer. He's got to stay on this team for a long time. They got to find tight end two to pair alongside of him so that you can, you know, pick and choose your spots with the physicality because you want to be able to keep Kittle for as long as you possibly can.
No
they
doubt.
Have to. And apparently, this is a deep tight end draft. You have to find tight end two to pair alongside of him.
Yeah, that guy for Penn State looks like he's going in the first round, but there's some tight ends in college that I like. We'll get to draft season. It's way too early for that. Let's go to our main man, Manny, on the Dumbarton Bridge. And it sounds like, Manny, are you going to be at the Doobie Awards?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be there with y'all bright and early, my friend.
I can't wait, Manny. You're up for Roaster of the Year. I think you're a dark horse candidate. You've been bringing it all season, all year. Your calls have been so much better than BPA's, it's not even funny.
Appreciate it, my friend. Hey, but you know what, man? I love being a 49er fan because fan is short for fanatic. You love them when they win. You get frustrated when they lose. And yesterday, it was vintage 49ers, you guys. However, I'm going to reserve vibe out. You get an incomplete. I'm going to give them an incomplete right now. when I'm going to puff my chest is when we see each other on Friday, what happens the night before. That's the game that's going to be the litmus test for me for the
next,
Niners season.
For next Friday.
Let's see how homey they are, how much they want.
Matty, make sure you don't end up at Laughing Monk Brewery. You can go there and go get you a bite to eat, but we won't be there until the 20th, not this Friday.
No. Oh, yeah, the 20th. My bad.
Just wanted to make sure you're there and you see what's going on and be like, oh, 95-7 the game. Those jokers flaked on us. No. It's the 20th.
I got you. But all things being said, man, thank you for clearing that up. Now I got to go to work. Thanks for clearing that up. But, man, the game yesterday, like I said, it was great to see it. Man, if anything from this season, Niner fans, that you walk away from, appreciate number 85. I thought when Vernon came to the Niners and he started developing, you know, after the Singletary blowout, that we saw the next best thing to Brent Jones. I stand corrected. Number 85, after Kittle is done with it, he was always known as saying that you should leave it better than the last guy that you took it from. Hang that jersey up when that man leaves.
There it is. George Kittle is having a spectacular season. Forget Purdy's contract, Shasky. George Kittle continues to produce at a high level, and him speaking out last Sunday in Buffalo, yeah, I was running routes. I felt like I was open. I think I ran 4 routes after the first catch of the game. Well, he had 6 targets yesterday, 6 catches, and 151. He had over 100 yards in the first half alone.
On a team this year that is 21st in yards after catch, where would they be without George Kittle?
Not 6-7. What he does in a run game, what he does in a pass game, he's an all-time player.
That stat they threw up, they were showing like a yards after catch, and from 2018 through 2023, the Niners number one by far. And then this year, 21st. And it's like, wow, what the hell has happened? Right? Like, what has happened to the yards after catch? And the one guy who still makes yards after catch, especially after contact, is George Kittle.
Yep.
Over and over and over again. And him rumbling on the first drive after they threw that screen pass to him, I was like, all right, it's going to be a Kittle game. And they just kept feeding him. And if he needed to go for 250, he would have yesterday.
Yep, I agree. He would have. Let's go to Dennis in the city. Dennis, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's always good to talk to two native San Franciscans.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, I'm one myself. And today's my 70th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Where'd you grow up in the city?
I grew up on 25th Avenue between Utara Valley and Aloha.
Oh, nice.
Sunset.
Right near the reservoir.
Yeah, went to St. Cecilia's Grammar School and St. Gerard High School.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, you're private school all the way.
My senior year, Mike Holmgren at Sacred Heart, I played four years of football at Sacred Heart. My senior year, Mike Holmgren was an assistant coach.
I love that.
At our school.
Love that.
But Shasky, where's your dad grow up at?
He grew up in St. Mary's Park. My mom's from 45th in Noriega. Mom went to St. Gabe's. Dad went to St. John's.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. My cousins went to St. Gabe's. But anyway, the Niners are – I've been going to Niners games since Keysar, since I'm about 8 years old, the Christopher Milk section.
Oh, yeah.
but anyway, I'm sure your father was there too, Shasky. But anyway, I was just saying the Niners, it's never been about this season. It's never been about Brock Purdy being the problem. I think Purdy's hurt. Watching him throw yesterday, I think that shoulder's still bothering him. And, because he doesn't have as much zip on the ball as he did last season. That's just what it seems like to me. But, Lynch and Shanahan, I hope the best for them. I hope that they can rebuild those two lines because that's what we need. I played line in high school, and it's a basic thing of football. You have a strong line on both sides, you're gonna be successful. The defensive line will make it easy on the backers and on the D-backs. The offensive line makes it easy on McCaffrey and whoever's running the ball.
Completely.
You know, we need to protect Purdy. Able to protect Purdy, and that's – yeah. So anyway, that's all I got today, guys. Good talking to you.
Yeah,
happy birthday, man. Happy birthday, Dennis.
You know, it's
70 years strong.
I brought this up earlier today, and I'll continue to say it. Like, I love playmakers, and don't get me wrong. Like, there's a time and a place to draft the playmakers, and I love having the mindset of – selecting them high in the draft, but there also is a time and place to invest in your offensive line. And when I look at Chicago Bears, the team you just played, their offensive line is horrible.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible. How can you make an evaluation on Caleb? Like, I don't think you can. And then I look at what the Chargers did.
Do you believe Caleb's a bad bet?
What do you mean?
Like, he's not a good quarterback.
You no, I don't think. How?
I'm with you, Shats. I'm just.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, my bad.
Yeah, you're about
I get
to
what you're saying. No, but like, I'm watching Justin Herbert last night, and they drafted Joe Alt. Everyone thought they were going to go receiver early in the draft, and it feels like a really good pick for them. Now, they took Ladd McConkey later, and he's been a really good pick for them. You have to build in the trenches, and I don't think there's any surprise that Jim Harbaugh, who loves physical football, kept the two D linemen, drafted an offensive lineman, and their team has been really good this year compared to years past. And it's because they've invested in the trenches. I look at the Niners, and they've made some investments in the trenches, but clearly they need a center, they need another guard, they need another tackle. Like, Pooney's been a great pick. But they need more.
Well, think about the top teams in NFC right now. Detroit invested in Penei Sewell out of Oregon. When a lot of people say, maybe they should go skill. Are you sure you want to take a right tackle? Well, how's that working out for Detroit?
He's a 15-year player.
All right. Philadelphia invested multiple years into their offensive line. How's that worked out for them? Saquon Barkley is just having one of the best seasons their running back has ever had in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform.
He just broke the rushing record.
Yeah, I know. Shady McCoy and Robert Montgomery.
That's crazy.
So there you go. When it comes to offensive line play, Tampa Bay's offensive line is giving Baker time. They play really well. The Vikings, understanding that, man, Darrell Shaw's hurt for the season. Let's go trade for Cam Robinson from Jacksonville, bring him into the building so we don't lose a step because we really feel like we have a shot at a Super Bowl. So, yes, offensive line play matters. It's been mattering for many, many years since football was invented. You can't function without an offensive line. Ask the New York Giants. All right, ask the New Orleans Saints, ask the Las Vegas Raiders. You cannot function if you don't have an offensive line. You can't run the ball, you can't pass the ball, you have no time to pass. So, yes, offensive line play does help, and you need it to protect your own quarterbacks. That's what Washington, they have a decent offensive line. They've been protecting Jaden Daniels. Denver's offensive line, I've heard nothing about Mike McGlinchey. Is he playing well? Because, man, Bo Dix is balling.
He was hurt earlier.
Yeah, he was hurt earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't checked.
All right, anyway.
Oh, this has been good.
Oh, we got a surprise caller. Other side. Wants to talk about the defense, because the defense is not getting enough love today against the Chicago Bears. Maybe they had a lot to do with what happened yesterday, as Caleb Williams got sacked seven times by the Niners front. Niners get a big win, 38-13 over Chicago. Warriors, big win over Minnesota, outscoring them in the fourth quarter, holding them to 16 fourth quarter points. Warriors outscored Minnesota second half, 65-48. How about that win yesterday at Chase Center? All right, more coming up, brought to you by the California Lottery.
I'm right a lot. Welcome back.
I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I've listened to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
I come running back into the studio. Welcome back. Morning roast. Hey, Bonte. Did you have a nice weekend? Little Giants signing. Little Warrior 2-pack.
You got to come back from break stronger than that, man.
Little 49er win.
You got to come back from break stronger.
Okay, come back stronger.
No, you got to come back stronger. Come on, reset it. Let's go. Come on, Shasky.
I'm ready to go.
All right, see, this is how you got to come back. Guns blazing. Come back from a break. You say, what's up, Doobie Awards? Coming Friday, December 20th. Doobie Awards. Take Friday, December 20th off. I want the whole damn crew there. I want everybody in the Bay Area. Sell it out. Laughing Monk Brewing.
Sell it out. We're
Sunday
selling
Bell.
Tickets.
Yeah. Oh, well,
free.
I mean, RSVP. It is free. Free food. Yeah. 415. Matt Nahegan ought to join the program once a week for a Q&A with the show host. That would be... Yeah, Matt, get in here for a little Q&A. Why the hell has the chat been off for 69 days? What the hell is going on with that? By the way, go to 95.70game.com for more details and the RSVP for the Doobie Awards, the third annual Doobie Awards. We made it 3 years of the Doobies.
You know what we should call it?
Can you believe it?
through the looking glass.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
That's a four.
You like that?
Now, this is also great. This is how you know this person doesn't listen to the show much. 415. This is why it's fun to do radio. Because no matter who's listening at what certain time, some people may think you hate Purdy. Some people may think you love Purdy. Okay. Here's a guy who thinks I love Purdy. He goes, 415, Bonte, you speak of Brock like he is the greatest thing since sliced bread, bro.
Well, you do like Brock Purdy.
I do.
Mildly.
But have you guys, that is great stuff. All right, this is great stuff. This guy I thought was going to show up to the Doobie Awards, but you know, he's a little soft. He's a little soft. It's okay. We got some soft listeners. We got some hard listeners. We got some thugs. We got some gangsters. We got some softies.
Well, I'm Tupac when I need to be, and then I'm Al Green when I need to be. Yeah. And, you know, and all the different feelings. Well, like, one person feels one way all the time.
Well, I don't think this guy is Al Green or Tupac Shakur.
Oh.
I don't think he's Snoop. I don't know what the hell he is.
Is it Machine Gun Kelly?
No. Oh, boy. He might be Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow's turned into a country singer.
I know.
It's so weird.
It's Brian and Paulo also.
Oh, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
I think it's Brian. I caught wind, and I said, man, if this guy showed up to the Doobie Awards, I may refollow you on Twitter, but I heard you weren't coming to the Doobie Awards. I did get some tweets. You know, if I don't follow anybody, I don't see their tweets or their replies. I kind of miss your replies. Maybe I'll just follow just for the replies and just meet you.
I see all your
trust
tweets.
Me, you don't want to follow me on Twitter. It's no good. It would not increase your opinion of me, which, you know, I know is at an all-time high. But, yeah, I was going to say, Hufanga came back yesterday, and I thought he really helped the defense a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously they benched Jair Brown, who probably or might have been the worst safety in football the prior 6 weeks. And I thought that was a big, you know, one of the criticisms of Kyle is that he's political with his guys or his higher picks. Maybe don't get judged quite the same way as others. And benching their first pick from last year, I thought was, you know, I'd like to see more of that energy. And Jake Moody probably be next up on that list. But,
dude.
Yeah.
Brian, let's have this conversation.
Yeah,
Jake got not only one, but two infractions on kickoffs. I haven't even seen it happen outside of a Niner game. I haven't seen it once. He got two where they got the ball at the 40. Two!
Yeah, he's just a bad kicker. He's one of the worst kickers in the NFL. Like, I don't know, there's not much to debate there. But and then, you know, Jalen Moore flipping over has really played well. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
Yes. Have you noticed the loss of Trent Williams,
I don't know if maybe like him switching back to right tackle if and when Trent is back is like too big a shift for him. But yeah, if he can play like that at right tackle, he should replace McKivitz. Like that should be like a pretty easy decision. So McKivitz. Go ahead.
Because you've been one of the Farhan detractors. How about Buster Posey not only re-signing Chapman, who's a good ball player, but also getting Willie Adames left side of the infield looking good for the Giants, and they've done more in like 4 months than Farhan did in 6 years.
Proud to have been on the Pioneer Express of that movement, but as were you guys. Obviously Farhan was what he was. I don't know if you saw the Dodgers sign Conforto.
Yeah.
As Farhan is rumored to be going back to the Dodgers. I thought that was pretty funny. But
what's your thoughts on the Warriors?
Probably put up.
What's your thoughts on the Warriors, man? Big win yesterday. JK.
I love this.
Brought to you by the River Islands Guest Line.
Played well. There's not a lot to complain about. Oh, you know, pods. I guess I'll throw just pods.
No, don't complain about pods.
Pods hit a three.
No,
I thought he looked good.
Take care.
I love the Jack Harlow imagery. Sorry, I can't unsee it. But
Brian,
no good,
Brian,
you know?
Brian, come on. You're not going to come to the Doobie Awards, man. You're not going to come to the Doobies.
The deal. I gotta, you know, church and state, you know, like, so I want to see the move I want to see the Warriors do is get Vukovic.
Yes.
No. The move I want to see is you coming down to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. That's your neighborhood.
I like the mystery.
No, Chaskin, you were the main mystery. One on. Begging BPA to come to the Doobies. Now you like the mystery?
Do you think a Palo Alto guy is going to be caught dead in Sunnyvale? Come on. Sorry.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
I'm just kidding. Hey, guys, have a great day. Bonte, you're doing great.
Don't do that. Don't suck up to me now. You know our love-hate relationship.
Come on, Bonte, you're doing great.
That was a funny call.
It was a great call. It was his best call of the year. He's had a lot of duds.
Talanoa coming back. We haven't spoken about it. They did look faster on defense.
Yeah, he looked healthy.
He looked great.
He looked healthy. Maybe he needed more time with that ACL when he rushed back, trying to come back in. You know, it takes a while to come back from these injuries, especially you hear players talk about it all the time. I'm not myself until the season after I have the surgery. And so he did look spry yesterday. He looked quick. He looked fast. Tig Brown, it was a big moment for Tig Brown. That was a big spot for him. And now, as far as him being a safety of the future, that's in doubt. That's in question.
But
he just looks so stiff all the time. Did. I don't get it.
Well, and it just felt like he was a step slow, and his ability to make a play after like a misstep or whatever, like he just looks slow and stiff and upright.
This is a great suggestion here. 408. I say it like that. 408, Comcast Business Text Line. Who is the high-level loser of the year?
That's
is that an award?
Right. See, forget
the high level loser, bro.
Forget YouTuber, the high level loser.
You know what? Since Nahegan's not going to do anything about the chat, we should spam his ass anyway at Matt Nahegan. Spam him for not having a YouTube chat up. I missed a YouTube chat. I'm itching for it. Yeah. I know Guru Steiny, they talk about it all the time.
No, I'm surprised.
They're asking for it all the time. They're like, Ponte, thank you for fighting a good fight. Because, you know, Shasky just leaves the. Chaskey off the air. Oh, man. You know, YouTube chat would be nice. And then on the air, he's like, oh, I don't need to use. I'm kidding. But you know what? That's what it is. The high-level loser of the year. Who's the high-level loser of the year? Who is it? High-level loser of the year. That's a great category.
Are we talking like sports world or just the morning roast?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I kept saying, repeating myself, because I was trying to think about it. Like, is it the roasters? Is it the callers? Is it the texters? Is it the YouTubers? We'll just make it, you know what? We'll give the award to TC since he named it. It's just a high-level loser.
What's up, bro?
By the way, I heard TC call Steiny Guru, and he goes, Steiny Willard, what's up with y'all, man? A Guru did not like it.
Oh, he got called Willard?
He got called Mark Willard. Guru did not like it. And TC just went off and on about getting rid of Shanahan. We should trade his ass to Chicago, get the picks. TC was running material with Steiny and quote unquote Willard. It's bothering me. I can't see it.
The Goo.
Timothy?
You know,
Shama Matt.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Who?
Timothy Shamamet.
Wait, who was Timothy? Who? I don't even know.
Timothy Chalamet is who he was thinking of.
Chalamet? Who's Timothy Chalamet?
He is an actor who is in Dune. He's in a lot of famous things. He's going to be in a Bob Dylan movie going forward. He was Willy Wonka recently.
How excited is Steiny for that Bob Dylan movie?
Actually, he really wasn't that excited about it. That's what they were talking
about.
That's
surprising.
And Guru's excited about Timothy.
Timothy? Shamamet. Shamalama ding dong.
What?
Shamalama ding dong.
What? Oh my goodness.
See, I was going to have
late study. Entry for mispronunciation.
I mean, we got to throw it in there.
I can't even say it.
Yeah, don't. Wow. Mr. Relevant 650. Mr. Relevant's MC loser of the year. I'll take that. And then he just mentioned that it's day 71. Without the YouTube chat. Day 70. We made it 2 full months without the YouTube chat. Oh, man. Matt Nahegan's going to love me after the show. You keep talking about the YouTube chat on the Victory Monday. The Niners, Brock Purdy went 28-25, 325, and you're talking about the YouTube chat. You're talking about the YouTube chat when Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield and Steph Curry combined for 77 points. Look, look, look. You just lost the day. You did not win the big day. You didn't do it. You didn't win the big day.
Who had a better weekend, Kuminga or Purdy?
Kuminga had a better week.
Okay.
He had a better week.
Okay.
Did he have the better day? He had a hell of a third quarter. Dude, oh my
he
gosh.
Was amazing.
He had a hell of a game yesterday. I mean, Brock Purdy did what he needed to do. He did. He had a great Brock Purdy had an excellent game.
I thought he played
excellent
really well.
Excellent game. Pinpoint accuracy. Okay, he underthrew a couple deep balls. Not
got
like
a couple batted at the line.
It's all good. I saw Josh Allen underthrow a deep ball yesterday.
Josh Allen also scored 5 touchdowns.
I mean, but I also saw under 6.
6, excuse six. Me, 6. Sorry.
But I also saw
I
him underthrow
the last one.
But he also underthrew some deep balls too. Are they going to complain about that in Buffalo? Probably not.
Well, they shouldn't have done the quarterback sneak on the first play. Brady was telling them about it, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, that was a joke. Give it to James Cook. Could have helped me in fantasy.
Throw the ball 3 times because you had 3 timeouts, so you had to burn a timeout after the first one.
Made no sense. Made no sense. Bad coaching. Bad clock management. So, I don't know. Who had the better day?
I think it's Kuminga. And the reason why
he had the better week, for sure.
Because, you know, I saw a lot of people like, well, hey, it's great that Kuminga and Wiggins did it as the number one and number two, but can you do it alongside Steph Curry? Which I actually think is a very fair, valid point to make. Like, it's one thing to do it when you're the guy. It's another thing to do it alongside the guy because you're asked to do different things. And I watched not only Steph and Draymond, but the other Warriors allowed Jonathan Kuminga to take his moments in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter.
Well, Draymond got in foul trouble. Remember, he had to sit for a long stretch. He had picked up four fouls. His fourth foul was 7-11 left in the third quarter. So Steve Kerr had no choice but to bench Draymond Green in that situation to prevent him from fouling out.
I loved what I saw from Jonathan Kuminga, and I thought his playmaking was on display. I thought his shot making was on display. I thought his off-ball defensive IQ, which I have questioned at times, was on display. Obviously, he putting pressure on the rim on both ends. I thought he played a spectacular game. I actually thought that was a bigger game and a bigger day for Jonathan Kuminga than Purdy. I know Purdy's really good. Yes, we need to get back to it. He had career lows last week in almost every category, completions, yards, etc. It was a bounce-back performance from Purdy, but I thought it was a bigger step forward for Jonathan Kuminga doing it alongside Steph Curry in that game against that team. I thought it was a big moment for him.
No, it was huge. It was a big week for him, and that team seems to be empowering him. Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green touched on this Friday night after the game when they lost to Minnesota, saying, yes, it's time for Kuminga to show us what he has. Now, you could look at it two ways. You could look at it as saying they're empowering J.K. and they're going to ride with him until the wheels fall off, no matter what happens this season. Or this could be a showcase for a trade. You never know what's going on inside that building. You never know what's going on with Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe they're showcasing him. But I do like the fact that him and Wiggins can play together. I don't know when that became a big deal where they couldn't play together. They can play together. And they could play really well together. And you got two really good defenders when they're like Kuminga was so damn engaged last night defending Julius Randle. You watch it from the tunnel view, Shasky. I know you're watching at home. But the guy was locked in. I saw an intensity from JK. Man, I was like, okay, that guy's ready to roll here. And he bet on himself. He bet on himself this year without the contract extension. He's betting on himself to make the money that he wants and that he thinks he deserves. So that'll come in the future just like Brock Purdy's money. But I thought being empowered by the team, saying, hey, you can play with this. You can play with Steph. You're going to open up things for Steph. And then you get Buddy, who, boy, he was on the milk carton the last week, right? And Buddy Hill goes crazy in the third quarter. But that lineup with GP2 and Stephen Curry and J.K., Draymond, and Buddy Hill, it really, really did wonders on Minnesota. And so shout out to Mr. Sadoo, who's the head of analytics with the Golden State Warriors, suggested to Steve Kerr, maybe we should go with this small ball five lineup, and it worked yesterday.
What's the Warriors' winning percentage when Steph hits a end of the quarter three?
I would not know that.
It's got to be high, right?
I've seen it a few times. I've seen it in losses.
Have you?
Yeah.
I feel like every time he does it, it's always like a huge moment, and it's a huge momentum going into the end of a quarter and a big break, and then they ride it out into the next couple of minutes. I don't know, like seeing him do that, and then his like celebration, the way he was like jogging down the court. I mean, the place was lighting up.
Well, what about Draymond's night night? Here's what Steph Curry said about Draymond's night night.
That was awesome.
I saw at the very end of it. I didn't know he did it all the way down the court. Let's just say his is a little bit more aggressive than mine, and I like it. I like it. You know, make it your own.
Make it your own. Here's the play that Stephen Curry's talking about.
34 seconds to go. A bucket here, and this one is basically done. Draymond off a screen, gets a drive, and a dunk down the lane. And there it is.
Tim Roy on the call.
Is
there.
Is he opening a soda?
Sounded like Tom Tolbert on the other
he
side.
He does it every time. That's like that's their dagger, if you will. Then he cracks the can.
Cracks
that's
the can thing. Of beer?
Yeah.
That, is that new?
He's been doing that for a minute. I know you catch up all the Warriors games, but sometimes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You never watch Warrior games.
Apologies. Listen, I'm usually at home.
Listen.
Well, it's all right. You're probably watching Fitz, which is fine. Yeah, we love Bob Fitzgerald, but, you know, sometimes people like to simulcast them.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, the Warriors looked great last night, but there was a video that I saw retweeted last night. It says, when Draymond has Gobert out on an island like that, his dribbling goes to 99. I would say charisma 99, swagger 99, dribbling power 99. He went between the legs like he was doing an and one, like you know, skip to my Lou Wood where he'd like start to, I call it simmer before he starts to really try to cook. And when he crossed over to the right, he saw the lane just open up like Moses splitting the Red Sea. It was awesome. Yep. God, it was great.
Dude, it was great. He isolated and just dunked all over him. That was a big time game. Big time win for the Golden State Warriors. Again, in the first half, they couldn't do anything offensively outside of Stephen Curry. In the first half, Steph was 6-12 and 4-9 from the 3-point line. The rest of the team was 12-36 and 4-17 from 3. So at halftime, you know, we were on it at halftime. Zena was saying they should just replay halftime because we called everything. Take care of the ball. Somebody else score outside of Stephen Curry and play some lockdown defense. No dribble drive penetration. Well, in the fourth quarter, because Minnesota, their clutch time numbers, Minnesota, they're one of the worst teams in the league in the last 5 minutes of a close game. They're terrible. Turnover rate is low. I think it's like 26 in the league. Their three-point percentage is low. Everything about them down the stretch offensively, it's atrocious. And maybe that has to do with Julius Randle. But in the first half, the Warriors were shooting 37.5%, 31% from three. They had 9 turnovers. And you're thinking, here we go again. They're about to get swept by the T-Wolves. What's going on? In the third quarter, they just flipped the switch like the old Warriors. 44 points. They locked down defensively. They placed a 1-2-2 zone. They were picking up full court at times. They were engaged. They were trapping at the Edwards. Timely traps, timely doubles. I loved every bit of it. And the turnovers in the third quarter. Not one single miscue by the Golden State Warriors in that third quarter as they flipped that basketball game and went into the fourth quarter with a 3-point lead, 93-90. Beautiful basketball. Beautiful basketball.
Yeah, you know, when you get GP2 contributing the way he was and you get Kevon Looney contributing and then you finally get one of those Buddy Hield games, it's like a just what the doctor ordered recipe for this team going into this week. They don't play till Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
They needed that. The soul needed that. The team needed that. The standings, like all these things. That was a big win. And I think on the heels of Friday night, which felt so deflating,
yeah,
I thought that this was another L, quite frankly. I just thought they got our number.
It felt like it. It felt like it.
Didn't it?
They did won five. They had won 5 in a row against the Warriors and 4 in a row at Chase Center.
It felt like they were suffocating us.
Yes, they were. And all that talk Anthony Edwards did Friday night.
So good.
But Steph Curry mentioned it. I didn't hear his answer because Sakti was in my ear. I love you, Sakti. You know I do. You're my guy. You're my guy. But I asked him, I was like, you know, what about Anthony Edwards? It was good payback. And he goes, that's the beauty of the – all I heard was that's the beauty of the baseball series, is that you could come right back and play them again. So there's no lingering. And it's all in good fun. We need that in the game. We do need it. Let's go to Coach Vallejo. You know, he's fired up about JK's performance.
I mean, how could you not be? Jonathan Kuminga was excellent. He did all the little things, all the big things, playing alongside Steph. And I love when they actually deferred to him. What's up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I think it can't be emphasized the magnitude of what Kuminga did last night. He outplayed one of the biggest bullies in the NBA in Julius Randle, one of the most physically imposing guys, and he held toe-to-toe with him. That says a lot for Kuminga, and it should tell Steve Kerr quite a bit. Now, also, too, Edwards actually the frustration when he pushed Kuminga, he finally met an athlete that was his equal. Anthony Edwards usually out-athlete, out-speed, out-muscle just about everyone he plays. Jonathan Kuminga stood toe-to-toe with him. And again, that should point out to Steve Kerr that he has one of the most elite athletes in the NBA, period. I don't want to hear Jimmy Butler talk or anything like that. That old man is not nearly as athletic as Jonathan Kuminga. And as you, when Kuminga got confidence and stopped looking over his shoulder, he started directing play out there. He knew where he wanted to go. Even if he made a mistake, he kept his head up because he didn't have to look over his shoulder. Let that young man play basketball. And like I said, playing Julius Randle Julius Randle head up, that what to me tells me everything I need to know about Jonathan Kuminga.
Hey, let me tell you, Coach, real quick, before you hang up, I thought the third quarter, Zena and I are watching from the tunnel, Kuminga hits a little midi 10 feet away, right? And he goes out and Randle's at the top of the key dribbling. And I go, Zena, look at Kuminga and how engaged he was. Physical. Getting forearms. Oh, you want to get physical with me? You're not going to bully me. You're not going to punk me tonight. Right. I thought it was very – that was another growth moment for him. This guy is growing up by the game.
Right.
And don't people see it, Coach? When the game evolves, he gets better and better as the game plays out because he understands the speed and things start to slow down for him. I thought that last night, J.K., may have been his most impressive game. Not the 33-point outburst against Houston, but last night I thought he was excellent on both ends of the floor.
Absolutely. You know, and what we're seeing is an elite athlete on the lines of a LeBron James, not saying he's LeBron James, but a size and speed that is just unparalleled throughout the NBA. So no way should the Warriors give up or let this young man go. He's only going to get better and more confident. I think we're looking at a star in the making.
There it is.
Wow.
Is Kuminga a star in the making?
Wow. I mean, you got to do it for more than a week, right?
No,
obviously, and he's done it for stretches, but it does feel like he's doing so many other little things. And for me, it's the pace, picking and choosing when to throttle up and when to throttle down, making the extra passes, setting up for your teammates, not crashing into people. It just feels like the game is slowing down for him, and he's realizing, like, cerebrally and athletically, he's like coming into his own all at once.
Yep. No, he is.
I mean, what the Warriors want from him.
But you know, he showed us flashes these last two seasons.
No doubt.
When Wiggins has had to take time off due to personal reasons or injuries. He's shown us these glimpses. And I don't know why it gets ignored, but he showed us. If we can, Spadoni, can you find a cut from Steph and Draymond Friday night about Jonathan Kuminga and empowering him? Because I would really love to play that in case people miss it. Maybe they did. I know on Warriors this week, who was it, Dan DeVone and Evan Giddings? I'm sure they played it over and over after the loss Friday night. But they basically empowered Jonathan Kuminga here. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on some Dubs talk. How refreshing was that win? They improved to 14-9. They head to Houston Wednesday night for the quarterfinals of the Emirates NBA Cup. Get fired up for this, right, Shasky?
Dylan the villain.
You want the cup? You want the cup?
I
want the cup. Would you buy? Let me ask you this.
What would I buy? What?
If they won a cup, would you buy some gear?
No.
Emirates NBA Cup
no.
champs?
No.
No?
I wouldn't buy any gear. No. I mean, I don't even have. I have like a hat from when they last won the championship. I had T-shirts and stuff from prior championships, but no. I would not buy that, but I do want the cup. Like, it's here, let's do it. It's more like tongue in cheek than anything else, but yeah, I do. I want to win this thing. Why not?
You know, if this could be fascinating in a cup. So if the Warriors win Wednesday, they have a chance to play Klay Thompson and the Mavericks Saturday in Las Vegas. That would be pretty juicy. And the Mavericks are rolling right now. They won like 7 in a row. They are rolling. That would be great. That was like the best game in the NBA all season, the Klay game.
It was one of them. It was one of them. Like, I mean, I know I haven't checked on him as of recent, but middle of last week, I know Klay had just returned from a little absence, yeah. And he's been up and down. You know, he's still trying to get his footing. Yeah. At the time, I think he was at like 13 points a game, shooting lower from three-point land, but it was a small sample size. It wasn't a big sample, but...
Yeah, in Toronto over the weekend, he was 8 of 16.
Okay,
scored
good.
20 in that game, 3-9 from the three-point line, so he's still trying to find it. He's still trying to find it with that lineup there. Let's go to Al in San Francisco. Al, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for getting me on here.
No problem.
I called last week, and Guru and those guys were on, and I told them that, you know, Buddy Hield in the lineup and Curry, those are two dangerous assassins for the three-point line, and I think that would open it up more if they can't both get double-teamed. And also with Kuminga in there and Wiggins and Draymond, that would be a powerful starting lineup. And as you see yesterday, Buddy Hield, you know, he got into his rhythm because Curry was in there with him. So they couldn't double Curry, double Hield. So that's why they need the scoring like that. Somebody help Curry out with 20 points or more the other person help out 20 going into the fourth quarter, they can win games.